It's a pleasure to introduce the next speaker, Brother Michael Falco. I remember the time when he sang from Vespers. He was only that big. So it's a pleasure to see him up here. His topic, which could be a good one, is enduring. Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Dear brother and sister Vicky, myself and our boys are very happy to be here with you, and we are rejoicing in this convention. We thought for a few moments this afternoon we would consider something that takes a lifetime to achieve. Now, that is enduring faithfully in this narrow way, this Christian walk in which we are privileged to strive, to walk, to desire to be like our Lord and go on through our lives in a way pleasing to Him. To go on in our lives in this world with its distractions and difficulties. This is the world in which we're striving to set ourselves away from, and also to go on enduring each day to make our calling and election sure. And we have some words from James 1:12. Blessed is he now that endureth. Now at this time. And I think that we've all heard wonderful lessons in this convention about how blessed we are that we can dwell with our Lord and be with those of like precious faith, desiring to serve him come what may. And immediately when we think of enduring, we have words of encouragement that are familiar to us from our Lord in John 16:33. That in me ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome that world and its problems. I endured the testings, the experiences, and I have overcome. These firm words, these helpful words that we had spoken by our Lord, we must apply them in our lives daily if we are to please the Father. And in our day, as never before, as we've come apart from the problems in the world that we've seen in our media throughout the years and months, now, as never before, we need to have a sound mind in our dealings, in our daily lives. And we need to have a secure rock upon which we can plant our feet. That each day we are mindful of the precious promises that our Lord spoke to us, that were revealed to Him by our Heavenly Father. And to hold on to these. And this rock will securely hold us through these times when the world is going through uncertainty, when men feel that everything is slipping beneath their feet, when nothing earthly is sure, when a man's word is spoken. Perhaps right after it's spoken today in the world, it's no good. We've seen contracts not being upheld, agreements, just mere pieces of paper. So fear and doubt and distress are on every hand, but not in our lives. We were promised that we could endure. So we look at ourselves and we ask, are we enduring? Are we striving to be sheltered safely in that cleft of the rock of ages, which cannot be shaken by any man, even when there is distress? And we've had wonderful words spoken about these treasures that we're striving to lay up in heaven, that we can, with the Lord's help, keep these precious gems, these treasures, where no storm can harm it or shake it, and nothing can touch it, because we are protecting it with the robe of Christ's righteousness, and He is pleased with this. And we have assurance that we can strive each day to get these gems and apply them and keep them and make them parts of our personality and our character. Because we have the divine word that has been spoken to us. And our Lord wants us to think on everything that is pure and everything that is good and everything that is holy. All these things, of course, are acceptable to the Father because He was the author of these pure, good, and holy things. So we can keep them. And chiefest among all is our personal love that we have for the Heavenly Father and His dear Son. And indeed, the love then and friendship of God and of Christ that is demonstrated to us daily as we are endeavoring to endure, as we are enduring. And again, we ask ourselves, am I enduring? We look at our lives, we see the times when the Lord overruled. We can see them. And this all the more encourages us to go on and be more faithful, more trusting, more lovely in mind and character. That we have Christ Jesus, the fairest among 10,000, this altogether lovely one, our comforter, our shield. He is an unfailing refuge indeed in this world in which we're living. Our refuge in every time of need, our daily joy, our solace, our comfort. And we had some words spoken by Paul in Romans 8:35-39. The ones that say, for thy sakes are we killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep led to the slaughter. And we know that this implies in our lives that we have to be willing and obedient, hearing the Master's voice and obediently following Him. What can I do to help you? How can I be of service? How can I better serve the cause of truth and righteousness? I always like to think of those beautiful words that were spoken, my sheep hear my voice, they obey. They come, they follow. And then indeed that great shepherd loves them all the more. And they develop, and we develop, this bond of love and devotion one for the other. And these in turn help us in all things to be more than overcomers, more than conquerors, that we have this love shown through us in our lives. We have that assurance also that nothing can separate us from this love of God. This is our hope, and this is our daily reality. We have that love of God with us as we go about our daily lives, or in our workplace and so forth. That love is there And indeed, that is another part of our anchor, another part of that rock, that firm foundation that we have to build upon if we want to indeed be pleasing to our Father. We have gained something that never changes. Those who have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light, and that is our Lord. He's the one whose love would never grow cold and from whom nothing can change and separate us from that love. If we have that willing and obedient heart to want to grasp onto that love and let it grow and develop within us, within our hearts, within our minds. And as we've heard, that compels us then to acts that show that we have that love in us. And we have that wonderful appreciation for that love that dwells in us. And this is the reality of the use in our lives of enduring. Let us remember that wonderful love, that nothing can separate us from it, neither death, which to us, his loved ones, will mean our blessed change, nor life, which means that there are further opportunities for suffering with him, but that we may also share in his glory, and which would permit us further works of loving service for him, whom we love so dearly, and for each other, as we show forth acts of love and kindness to each other, we show forth love and magnify the name of our Heavenly Father. So we share in these things, the loving service, the devotion. These are the threads that bind us together in this most holy faith, that have us take part in this wonderful communion with him, this wonderful communion that we have this week together. And also, knowing in our lives that nothing can harm those who are sheltered in Christ, for all things work together for good to those who love him, that he will direct the issues in our lives, the matters in our lives, that we can receive a blessing from them, that we can be submissive to these experiences, that we can have the polishing and the chiseling, the shaping take place within us. Nor can depth of sorrow or trouble separate us from that love of God, for he is our refuge, our strength. He's ever near. We say, Father, help me. My son, what can I do? How can I help you? And he will indeed direct our path. He's promised to keep the feet of his saints, that nothing shall touch them as new creatures in Christ, that his presence shall go with them wherever they may be, and that's 1 Samuel 2:9. Nor any creatures in heaven or earth receive marks of special favor such as these, but to those in this bride of Christ, the beloved bride of Christ. It is now an exhortation to us to hearken, O daughter, and consider, to listen, incline thine ear. Forget also that Father's house, Father Adam's house, the ambitions, the hopes, the aims of the children of this world. So shall the King, Jehovah's anointed, greatly desire a beauty of character and a heart loyalty not known by anybody else in the world but this 144,000. This beloved bride, the overcoming church, the more than overcoming, the enduring daily, laying down their lives, daily cooperating with Him, cooperating in this work, that they alone will be His companion, His confidant. Remember those words, many wise men have desired to know these things, but know them not. But I have revealed them unto you. So, let us continue as we are striving to endure, to incline our ears to the Heavenly Father, to look to His exhortations, His leadings, His testings, in the proper character that He would want us to have. Let us strive each day, and we will indeed be more than overcomers. Psalm 45:10-11. But at the same time, how unworthy we feel of such a great honor, a trust, a love from our beloved Bridegroom. No wonder when we look at our imperfections, it seems that there is little in us to call forth such a wonderful outpouring of love and devotion from the Father, of adoration. But He has chosen members of this human family to be this bride of Jehovah's Son and to reign with Him in the future over a fallen race who could so well sympathize with these, because we have been there. We have experienced the sorrows, the loss of a loved one, discouragement when we were of the world and worldly lines. And it has helped us to become sympathetic in our dealings, and it should each day help us to be more tender-hearted and more sympathetic towards others. And it helps us to know that all who come to the Heavenly Father and say, I want to be your son, will, of course, have an opportunity of walking with God and learning of Him. And it is the responsibility of this little flock, this bride of Christ, to help that human family up that wonderful highway of holiness. So in our lives, we should, as we've discussed already this week, be humble in our dealings, that we can go on one day to infinite heights of glory to which this Lamb's bride will be raised, realizing that it is not any worthiness of our own that these things can take place, that we were all chosen to be of such a high exaltation, but that, again, it was of divine grace, because He loved us first with that deep, abiding, unfading love. And then, clad in that glorious robe of the Bridegroom's furnishings, we can stand all complete. All complete in the eyes of Jehovah, and possessing an ornament of a meek, of a quiet spirit. The faith that trusts under every condition. This is that total and complete trust that we must put into practice. The love that delights to do the will of the Father. We are lovely in the eyes of our beloved, our Bridegroom, our King. Galatians 2:20. I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. And we see this wonderful personal relationship. We had two symbolized this morning that they have entered into this relationship with the Lord. Yes, he gave himself for you, for me. And in Ephesians 5:25, Christ loves the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the waters of the Word. And each day, as we're striving to go on enduring, our lives should be further refreshed and cleansed and made anew by this water of the Word. And it shows that we can obtain, if we are striving daily to meditate on these things, to, as we had pointed out, put away this old man and its tendencies, we can obtain it. Because we are loved so much by the Heavenly Father. And it says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." And we are to live our lives like Christ, and indeed in our lives want to be a sweet savor also to the Heavenly Father and to those round about us. So we are now living our lives as one who is walking with Christ in this narrow way. We are walking as one who is enduring, who is rendering obedience day by day. And we have the spirit of loving zeal demonstrated to us in our Lord's case when he gave his all, his very life, in service to the Father. So in our case, we have to do this. Otherwise, we would not be permitted to be members of that body. If we want to be of it, we have to go and serve God with our whole heart. But we know that nothing less is acceptable to him. But he has promised that we can endure. And so this instills with us each day a confidence that through the Lord's grace we can go on, we can overcome, and we can, with those unspeakable joys and gratitude, hold on in our life's matters. We can press on to that mark. We can grasp on and remember daily, whether it's on our private meditation or something that is burned up in our memories as we're listening to a discourse, to make those precious promises ours through Christ. And we can do this without presumption, and we press on then along that line, mixing the humble trust with the steadfastness that we must have in this world when they point to you and say, "You're wrong. You know, there is a hell with torment and torture. And only we're going to heaven and the world is lost." Have you had someone point to you and say you're wrong? The Lord points to you and he said, "You're doing what I want." And he shows us by the blessings that he gives to us that we can go on. And we know that he is that master workman that's working in us faithfully, promised that once he had begun that good work, he would go on and see it to its completion unto that day of our glorification with the Father. in this heavenly kingdom, presented without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, glorious, complete, and fitted, prepared for that work which lies ahead, that we shall share with our blessed Lord and King. And we have incentives to be faithful, to trust in Him. Let us recall to mind some of the blessed and inspiring promises which the Father and the Son cheer the bride. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. He shall be thine in that day when I make up my jewels. And that wonderful lesson about I will give unto thee to eat of that hidden manna, the immortality, and give thee a new name and this white stone, a token of love in the name of the bridegroom. For lo, I am with you alway, and I will go away, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. And He has come and is now present and will soon receive us unto Himself forevermore. And ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. For I will give you this crown of life if you are faithful unto death. And I will grant the more than overcomer to sit with me in my throne. Psalm Isaiah 33:7, Malachi 3:7. We have these precious promises and these words of life. Let us count them over and over again in our lives, remembering their sweet significance to us who have this ear to hear, whose eyes are set on that mark that is up there. We're approaching it. We're going towards it. We're using all of our talents, our times, our energy to achieve it, that our life can bring forth fruit, that we can be pleasing to the Father. May these precious promises and words cheer us in every dark and trying moment or hour that we face, and reinforce our waning powers that we can go on with renewed courage and zeal, that we can press on until our eyes shall see the King in His beauty, that we can find ways of laying up these treasures in heaven that were so beautifully being explained to us this week, that we can leave behind the world and its beckoning and its delusive grandeur, and we can see it for what it is, fading, crumbling, falling away daily. And we can lay hold upon the things eternal. Lay hold upon the glorious inheritance which is to be the possession of all those who are faithful. That these can be obtained by our zeal, our faithfulness, how we're handling ourselves in our daily lives under our trials, under our testings, and that we are in securing wealth now as we strive to go on, and these are marks of approval and distinction from our Lord. The patience, the endurance of affliction, the unwavering trust in Him. I put my total trust in you. Because we indeed go through crucial testings and experiences, but we must. We know that we have to go through these. But we do it with joy and with thanksgiving to know that our faithful Father is working out all in us and through us. So let us go on to be good and true and commit our all to the Lord. If our hearts and minds are set on heavenly things, nothing in this life could disrupt that. Even disappointments that come along in this present life, they cannot overwhelm us. Whatsoever things are worthy aspirations of the spiritual sons of God, they are our real jewels. The only things worthy of our consideration are time. Truly, we are to touch lightly the things of this world, because they are not compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us if we faint not by the way, but are strengthened and encouraged to press on faithfully in this path. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. 1 John 5:4. It is the one who believeth with their whole heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that have given their all to Him, that have consecrated to walk in His footsteps. This is that Spirit that beareth witness, because this Spirit is truth. God's Word is truth. His Spirit dwells within us. His truth dwells within us. But not superficially. Deeply within us. Deep in our hearts. That heart that we were in the world, it was that stony heart that nothing could penetrate it. But we gave our heart. We responded to that call, "My son, give me thine heart." And we did. And that heart was turned to a fleshly heart that can have compassion through the Holy Spirit, eyes of understanding open. That each day we can exercise our love that we have in our hearts to radiate out to those round about us. That we can show forth our faith and trust. And we can approach that mark then of perfect love that is attained through a knowledge, is attained through a courage, and is attained through an enduring spirit. That I'm not worried and caught up with these circumstances that are going on, but I have that 20/20 vision that's not clouded or dim, but strong and clear. And I will give my all to Him. And if we do this, the Lord promises in Psalm 91:4 that He will cover us with His feathers. And under His wings we can find shelter. So we have this sureness of the Word that is spoken to us, His truth, God's Word, unshakable, firm. Our rock on which we can build. And we have that faith, the basis of our Christian character, along with love, the roots reaching down and then branching out into our lives to those who we come in contact with, to those who we touch. Because we want our faith to be in full harmony with God. And then that goes on to give us a more joyful hope, an inspiration and zeal to serve the Lord, to lay down our lives in sacrifice to Him. And it becomes an anchor for our soul, an anchor for our walk in this narrow way. And when storms come, and we know they do come and will come, we can rest upon Him, His promises, His overruling in these trials and testings. And we can fight against the adversary, as Peter told us in 1 Peter 5:8, that have that sober mind, that vigilant mind, that is set firm, that is not wavering, and you can endure by the Heavenly Father's grace and help. And also in Titus 2:12, to live your life soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The world says, that's okay if someone is cheating or lying. Everybody does it today. The child of God says, my Father wants me to be honest and upright and walk in the way that would please Him and the dear Son. And that's the idea that we're living up to. That's the model that we're following. In this world that blames the Heavenly Father for all the problems and even doubts His existence. So we know that darkness is in this world, but we are in this marvelous light. It's shining in our lives, and we are so thankful for it. And it helps us in our lives to go on and strive to be upright and daily show forth our love to Him. And to the daily go on and not to become discouraged and faint-hearted and weak in our minds, but to be encouraged and content, not with self and its weaknesses, because we don't have rest with that, and we won't have rest, we know, until this life on earth is over. But we're always striving to find more ways of improving, to find more ways of being of service, and of more ways to commune with Him and to do His will. So we are compelled in our lives, brethren, to go on, to strive to endure, come what may, and to remember the words in Micah 6:8, for He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly, to conduct ourselves in a way with others that would be pleasing to the Father, to be true and honest in a relationship to God, to act in a loving and merciful way, and to go on each day singing praises to Him. That we have pleasure and delight and joy and comfort, all these sentiments are coming out in our hearts, and we trust Him in all things. That we are obedient, we are firm in our convictions, at the same time, we are humble, we are loving. So, brethren, let us be faithful sacrificers. Let us ever strive to be endurers, each day enduring. And Ephesians 1:14, let us know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness and this mighty power to usward who believe. And may the Lord bless you all.